So today's interview has taken a little while to get together. Miles van der Meulen, who is the founder and chief executive of Semairs, so one of those really busy people. Getting into his diary is not easy. But in March, he wrote a right of reply to a story that we published on BizNews. It was a very strong right of reply. And I've wanted to pick up with Miles on some of those issues. And today's our opportunity. We'll be into that in a moment. Well, you took us to task, and it was primarily over an article that we ran saying that Safair, one of your competitors, or the biggest domestic airline now in South Africa, was both profitable and sustainable. And your insider's understanding of this is that it's anything but, and indeed, that Safair is being subsidized to the tune of 100 million rand a month. Now, we know that the South African airline industry space has had a lot of issues over the years. We've had South African Airways being subsidized and then eventually having to be bailed out by taxpayers. We've had Comair, which went bust because they were taking a very strange approach towards commerciality. And now we have the new market leader that appears to be doing some, well, things that are not exactly in accordance with the parameters that you guys have to operate in the airline industry. But Miles, why? It's not often that companies talk about competitors in this way, in particular in this way. Why did you decide to go public on this?
Hi, look, always good to chat to you. It was a right of reply. So when information is out there that we don't believe is correct, we get involved. So that was the only reason why I sent you that mail. The 100 million rand a month thing is a complete guess from my side. I don't know, and I've got no inside knowledge of. But what I do know is that Safair is not a South African owned company, which is a requirement in terms of the Act to operate as a South African airline.
Just explain that. You say in terms of the Act?
So there's Air Service Licensing Act, Domestic and International Act, that governs the issuance of air service licenses, and the air service license allows you to operate an airline of any kind, scheduled, non-scheduled, or other. So that's a prerequisite before you start operating. It's issued by the Department of Transport. There's a requirement in there for a local ownership percentage. And Safair... so a certain shareholding of any airline needs to be held by South Africans and South African residents. It sort of breaks it down, and controlled by South African residents.
And that ownership percentage, how big is that?
So the One Act specifies that no more than 25% can be foreign owned. The other says significant ownership must be South African.
All right. So we're talking about 75% South African if you take the 25% foreign as the baseline. And Safair holds itself out to be South African. I think they even fly the Springboks. So what is their shareholding, and how do you know this?
So ASL Holdings in Ireland, they say they own 74.86% of Safair, and they have an option on the remaining 25.14%. And their financials are available online. You can buy them from the company's office in Ireland. And they say since 2019, they are a majority shareholder in Safair and account for it as a subsidiary.
Hang on. So we've got a South African law that says you've got to be 75% South African owned. And you're saying that Safair is 75% foreign owned. It's owned by an Irish company. That seems weird.
I'm not saying it. They're saying it. This is their version. ASL says they own effectively 75% of Safair in their audited financials, yes.
What is ASL?
ASL is a well-established Irish aviation a brand. They operate in Europe primarily with doing a lot of freight work. They've owned Safair for many years. And in fact, when Safair started operating in 2013 or 2014, there was a challenge by Comair where they questioned the ownership structure, and at the time Safair altered the ownership structure and the licensing council accepted the new structure. And then in 2013, they made 2019, they made some material changes to that. And at that point, ASL once again continued to account for it as a subsidiary.
So have they changed, has South Africa changed its laws, or is there a way around that 75% local ownership requirement?
No, the act dates back to 1991, so it's an old act. And what SAFE has done is they've put the shareholding through an SPV in South Africa, and then the Irish company owns the, is a beneficial owner of that. So I believe in a substance over form kind of review, you would say the beneficial ownership, and they say the beneficial ownership of SAFE rests with ASL Holdings.
Why is that so important that the airline be South African owned?
Well, you know, there are various bodies of thought as to whether it's important that it is, but it is important that everybody follows the same set of rules. It's a capital-intensive game, and if you have access to capital at a lower cost, it's a sizable advantage.
And if you are a well-capitalized international business that is wanting to drive competitors out of the market, presumably you would be able to do that, given that you're working in hard currency and South African operations are not. So I'm just trying to get my head around why this would be so relevant, or indeed what ASL, or the Irish owners of SAFE, what their motivations would be here to, if they're losing money, presumably, as you say, you work it out, then the rest of you guys won't be able to carry on indefinitely. And I suppose they might be thinking, well, let's subsidize this for a period of time, and then we will be the last man standing. Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, that would be my guess. It is a last man standing kind of strategy where you can outprice everybody. They did flood the market with capacity in the last 18 months or so. You would have seen that as a consumer. So enormous amounts of capacity at very low prices, and it becomes an unsustainable industry, and eventually some players have to exit. And if you have access to foreign capital, that gives you the ability to weather the storm that you're creating. And then on the far side of it, obviously, you can reprice your product and take it from there.
And this information on ASL, is that publicly available?
Yes.
Its ownership.
A sum of only €2.50, you can buy it from the Irish company's office. It's effectively public information, yeah.
Aren't they taking a massive chance then? Because here's the South African regulations, and if somebody, some smart person in CRPC or wherever in the airline authority were to go to the Irish company's office and see this information as you've described it, and I know it's true because you've sent me a copy of it and I've read it as well, then there must be fines or some kind of punishment for it?
Yeah, the penalty for, it's before the licensing council, both councils, the international council and domestic council in terms of each act, and it is before the councils. The international council has heard the matter and the decision is being awaited, and the domestic council is still looking into the matter, so there's more of a process to follow there. There's no precedent on this, so what the penalty might be is anybody's guess. Considering that if they are found guilty, this will be really a second offence, so that would be considered. I suspect, regardless of the council's decision, because it's such a pivotal matter for the entire industry, I suspect there would be an appeal process that would follow. The penalty could be anything from a fine to some time to rectify it, to withdrawal of the license.
So from a South African consumer's point of view, if somebody overseas or some Irish guys are prepared to subsidize your travel, as from what you're telling us, SAFE has been doing now since for over a year, then why should we be worried about that?
It becomes a sustainability thing. You know, there's lots of memories in the South African consumers' bank of arriving at the airport and your airline no longer operating. You know, you look at Mango and the Comair failure, and one time before that. There's been so many over the years. And although people do enjoy the pricing while it lasts, the loss when airlines close is enormous, and the destruction of value there is not in anybody's interest, on the consumer's interest in the long term. So it's a short-term gain, but a long-term negative in my view.
But would it not mean that if they were to be levied with a very hefty fine, SAFER this is, that the rest of the competitors would be able to charge more?
Look, it would depend on the dynamics of at the time and what was done. But yes, if they suffered any penalty, it would move to level the playing field, which is what we need. We all need to work to the same rule book.
Why has the South African airline industry had so many of these incidents, like the one that we're now talking about?
The South African airline industry has destroyed value for many years. If you take, on average, it's incurred losses on an ongoing basis. And the philosophy at some point will have to change, and it'll have to become a commercial industry where there's reasonable returns on capital, which will make the industry investable and sustainable. Whilst there are artificial financial supports for certain players, it is going to keep it skewed and will just relive the same cycle.
And how did you get to your estimate of SAFER losing 100 million rand a month?
Look, as I said earlier, it's largely a guess, but we're in the industry where we have an idea on the yields they're getting, and we chat to other people in the industry, and that's our best guess. It's not on an ongoing basis. This is probably for the last year or so, but basically from when the enormous capacity increase was realized. So effectively in the 23 financial year, that was our best case.
Enormous capacity increase. Does that mean more planes coming into the South African to serve the South African domestic market?
SAFER works largely on a leased model, and they added a significant number of leased units during last year.
Explain that, a leased model?
The vast majority of their fleet is leased. And again, through ASL holdings in Ireland, they were able to secure a significant number of units of Boeing 737-800s, the type they operate.
So let me understand this. This is an Irish-based European airline operator who've got a South African company, which is not South African-owned, but which they own. If there is extra capacity in the European markets, they can lease those planes, bring them into the South African market, undercut the South African players, and presumably with the intention of putting them out of business, and the industry in the long term would suffer as a consequence of that. Is that the argument?
Yes. The capacity decisions are long-term capacity. It increases the leases they have. Are not seasonal leases, they're longer term. So they're committed to capacity for a significant amount of time. And yes, there's no capacity situation in the South African market as a result.
But Miles, I would have thought that South African Airways, being so close to government, owned by government, that they would be the ones making the running on this. In other words, they would be the ones saying, hang on, we can't get back off the ground again because we've got this predatory pricing from an overseas player. Have they been silent on all of this?
The pricing conversation is separate to the ownership conversation, and that is before the Competition Commission as a separate matter. I'm not sure where that is in its process. And where the SA would choose to object is I suppose, ultimately neither here nor there. Where it comes from, the question is do they comply with the requirements or don't they? Who the complainant is immaterial.
So who has complained?
To the best of my knowledge, it's Lyft through their holding company, their owner Global, and Airlink, to the Licensing Council, and it's slightly different to the Competition Commission.
And what is that process?
The Competition Commission.
No, the complaint. So you know that these guys are Irish owned. They've got it in their financial statements. They are breaking the South African laws of aviation. You complain. To whom and what is the process that goes through?
So that's the structures of International Air Service Licensing Council and Domestic Air Service Licensing Council, which are structures under the Department of Transport that adjudicate the issuing of air service licenses. And it's been put before them to say that the information available shows that SAFER doesn't comply with this requirement And as I said earlier, the International Council is adjudicating, and we're expecting a decision, and the Domestic Council continues to investigate, to the best of my knowledge.
So what would the impact be if, say, the Council said, all right, we're going to change the rules in SAFE's favour? So you can be a South African, you can operate in the South African market if you are 75% foreign-owned, for argument's sake. What would the impact of that be on you or on others who are operating airlines here in South Africa?
Well, effectively, you're going to see foreign operators getting access to this market, and they would have a cost advantage. So it structurally changed the market, and over time you would see South African-owned players fading away, and effectively the large global players that had interest moving into the territory and dominating.
Is that not a good thing?
Well, some people might say it is a good thing. There's varying opinions on that. The Act was set up in this way because they wanted to retain control within South Africa. There are countries that do have foreign ownership models, and either can work, but you need to choose left or right. So if it's going to be a South African control type model, everybody has to abide. And if not, then, you know, we can all run off and look for international investors, and there will be a structural change. But you can't have different players operating on different models.
You're playing according to the rules. SAFE isn't, and that's unfair.
That's the industry's complaint at the moment, yeah.
When might all of this change? How long would it be before this actually gets adjudicated on?
Oh, well, I can't speak to that. I would guess it shouldn't be too long at all. You know, it's a relatively simple matter. It's a crisp point. And the matter has been fully heard by the Licensing Council probably more than a month ago. So I wouldn't expect an excessive delay. The Domestic Council, as it is earlier on in their process, so they would have some distance to go. But it seems unlikely, even though the councils are separate, it seems unlikely that they could arrive at vastly differing points of view, since the Acts are, by and large, very similar.
Miles, we know some business people believe, ask for forgiveness rather than follow the rules. Is this one of those cases, you think, where SAFE was fully aware of the rules, but is just pushing the envelope, and if they are clearly found to be contravening the South African rules, just, so sorry about it, we'll adjust it. But the damage that could have been caused in between could be considerable.
Yeah, the destruction of value that it's resulted in their strategy is significant for the remaining players. I can't speak to that. You know, whether they do take the position that, sorry, we didn't know. It's difficult the second time round. The first time, it's a weak argument. The second time, it's almost a non-existing argument. You know, even if they're forced to change their shareholding structure, you know, what follows from shareholding structure is largely capital structure. So if ASL was down to a 25% shareholding, they would take a very different view on how they would support SAFE, I'm sure, as opposed to the current position where they really believe they have outright control. And that change in itself would drive all sorts of things in that business at a material, an operational level eventually.
You say second time round?
Well, again, Comair complained about their ownership structure before they started their South African scheduled service in 2014. And at that time it was adapted. And then in 2019, effectively, that structure was substantially unwound, and they went back to the ASL ownership model.
It's extraordinary that people in this day and age would follow those lines. We must assume that what you wrote in your right of reply is accurate. We've had no communication whatsoever from SAFE. Our attempts to get their side of the story have not met with any success. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out. Miles van der Merwe is the founder and chief executive of SEMAIR. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.